Welcome back to Buff Talk Live here from Old Chicago. Thank you so much to volleyball head coach Trista Bailey and senior Camden Carr for coming on the show. We're now going to dive into football. Buffalo's football coming off a crazy overtime win in week number four as they take down the Hayes Indians, get their first whack win of the season. With that, we welcome on 14th year head coach Brian Hill. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So you just came over from freshman and JV. How are those teams doing?
Good. Freshmen really played well today. They won 48-0. And when I left, we were ahead 8-6 towards the end of the first quarter in the JV game.
What stood out about the freshman team? Because I think the last time I had you on, they were up big too.
You know, they just continue to work and get better. You know, they've got a good group of kids. They come to work every day. Coach Delgado and the freshman staff do a great job with them on game days. I think that, you know, they've got some promising future in that group. And, that was pretty shocking. I'm not sure that we've ever beat Hayes like that in a freshman game. And I know that they've got a couple kids that play up. They've got a defensive tackle and an offensive lineman that played against us on Friday night that were freshmen. So, you know, it's not always an even look at it, but just real happy with the way that our freshmen and our sub-varsity kids have really worked and continue to get better. And that's a really important part of a program is, you know, getting those kids reps and learning and participating. So because their time's coming and the more that they can learn, the better off they'll be when it's their turn.
What does Coach Delgado do that really helps these guys out at the freshman level?
Oh, he really is. You know, he's a great relationship builder, builds a lot of confidence in kids, but he also pushes them, you know, probably harder than they've ever been pushed before. You know, that he explodes out of them. He does, the things with them, you know, on a daily basis of trying to get them to understand that they're capable of more and continue to push themselves. And I think as a young athlete, that's really important.
All right. So you were mentioning the freshman team normally never beats Hayes by that much. Varsity team beat Hayes on Friday. Crazy game. There's a lot of places where I could start. But what I will start is post-game show, you told me that you mentioned that if they prepare the right way, good things will happen. Where did you see this team excel in practice building up to this game?
Well, really, it was all week long, really. I saw that, you know, we were really focused. They were, you know, really paying attention to the detail. And, you know, our big thing, you know, last week was to try to get over the hump and find a killer instinct. And, you know, that was more of just kind of staying in the game in this, you know, in this sense. It wasn't that we were way ahead and then needed to try to put a team away. This was, you know, the back and forth and the up and downs of, momentum on Friday night were so big swings. You know, I mean, there were just some crazy things that happened in that game. And, for our kids to kind of, you know, stay calm in the face of adversity and to come out on top, just very proud of the way that they handled that situation.
This is a game that you felt this team really wanted, especially after last season.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, we, like I said, last year, you know, we didn't play well at all for the first probably 15 to 17 minutes of the game. And then after that, you know, I felt like we really kind of dominated the game. And so I think that when they realized, you know, what they had and what they could do, that going up there this year, really wanted to try to, you know, just continue what we were doing in that second half of last year's game.
Let me get into the start of this game. You're playing a running back that had never played at running back before. He was their backup quarterback. He scores in the first quarter, but you did a really good job to hold him down the rest of the game. How difficult is it to adjust on the fly against somebody that you've never seen before?
Oh, it's not that hard. For us, it wasn't that hard because they're going to run the same plays. So he's going to show up in the same places that the other running backs, no matter who they put in there, were going to be. It was more about playing the technique of how you were going to defeat the block that was in front of you, more so than playing the guy that's running the football. Probably the only difference is, you know, that he is not as strong a runner as Malik Ball was. And so that, you know, when you're playing a guy that hasn't played a lot of varsity football, one of the things that we thought that we could do is, you know, once we realized who was going to play, was to try to put a hat on the football and try to get rid of it. And, you know, unfortunately, we got it from him twice.
I was going to ask that. You got in the fumble twice in the game, once in the second quarter and once in overtime, which we'll get to later. How did you change up the way that you wanted to tackle? What was something that you told the defensive front to do?
Oh, nothing more. I mean, other than let's just, you know, again, we got to fly in there. I mean, obviously, when Malik was going to be the running back, you know, we needed to gang tackle and get as many people there as we can because he's such a strong runner. And now it wasn't necessarily to get a hat on a guy to bring him down. Now it's let's get all those guys around the ball. And when somebody's holding him up, let's try to dig and rip at that ball and see if we can't get him to get, you know, to get it loose.
Offensively, you got off to a really good start after the first couple drives. Ethan went 6 of 6 in that first half, put you guys in front. What was the best throw that you saw out of Ethan in that game?
Oh, boy. Probably the throw in the second half where he avoided the pressure and threw the ball on the sideline to Ethan Allen was probably the most impressive way that he handled himself in the pocket, staying calm, stepped up big in the pocket, and was able to turn himself and make a really good throw to Ethan Allen along our sideline. But really, I mean, I thought that all of them were pretty impressive. You know, I mean, the things that he did, you know, he threw the one interception that, you know, really was more of a mechanical flaw really than anything. I think he, you know, sometimes as a young quarterback, your mind works faster than your body does. And, you know, he saw a wide open Emilio down the field, and rather than continuing to go through it, he rushed his mechanics and kind of threw it in between stride and didn't get a lot on it. And that's why, you know, he threw it short and the Hayes kid was able to intercept it. But, you know, again, just really impressed with the way his mentality. I mean, I think in a game like that, it really showed how he was leading his team, and you know, along the sideline, about staying in it, out on the field. He wanted the football in his hands, you know, late in the game, and that just shows the signs of a true competitor.
He told me he got that leadership before the season from Caleb. Was Caleb the same kind of way last year on the sidelines?
Caleb, you know, again, is a little different personality, but yeah, I mean, Caleb was always the guy that is someone who is encouraging his teammates. He was a great teammate, you know, had self-belief and self-confidence in himself, but, you know, never got too high, never got too low. And I think that it definitely, you know, Ethan was able to sit and watch that and understand, you know, how to be a leader. You know, everybody, you know, tells everybody to be a leader, but not everybody can. And I think learning how to do that and how to approach your teammates and you know, because there's so many ways that it's important that you find the right way when you're speaking to your teammates.
What would you say is the way that you like to have players lead?
Well, I want them to lead based on their own personality. You know, I mean, you just have to be yourself. I think it's the same way I tell coaches, and I try to be myself, is, you know, you can't be somebody that you're not. And if you're not a real spirited, rah-rah kind of guy that speaks up, that's okay. You can lead by example and hold people accountable just through your actions. But if you are that guy that's a spirited, you know, outspoken kind of individual, then I think that's how you should lead as well. And, you know, the only thing that I always try to tell kids is that, you know, the toughest thing about being a leader is that you've got to be trying to do the right thing all the time. Because, again, if you don't, then the other people are going to be poking holes in you.
I love that. That's one of the quotes that I like to live by when I talk to a younger broadcaster. Say, don't try to be something you're not. There's only one thing that you can bring that nobody else can bring to this broadcast, and that's yourself.
Right,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, I really like that. Going back to Ethan for a second, you mentioned his pocket presence is really taking a step up. How important is that for a quarterback to have, especially within this offense?
I mean, it's huge because, you know, again, we're not going to hold the football for very long, or at least we don't want to. He has a couple times, probably longer than I wanted, and it's either led a bad throw or maybe even a sack a couple times. But, you know, I mean, him understanding the protection and where maybe pressure is coming from really is something that is important, because, you know, that allows him to, you know, there might be a hole in coverage based on what the, you know, the blitz was, or, you know, something like that. And I think he's just going to continue to learn. The more reps and the more things and the more scenarios that get thrown at him, because he is a really quick learner. That is another sign, I think, of a good quarterback is that something happens to him, we can talk about it, and then usually he makes that adjustment, you know, quickly after or in the next game. And so I think that's something that I have really noticed over the first four games.
Is there points where he points things out to you and says, hey, I'm uncomfortable here?
Sure. I mean, he not necessarily that he's uncomfortable, but sure. He's mentioned some things that he sees, and those are always important, that the more experience that he has and from his vision point, what he sees is going to be, is, you know, as we go forward, you know, over the next year and a half with him, is going to make a huge impact on the plays that I call for him.
So let me start. The second half, things didn't get off to the best start. Turnover on downs, interception, back-to-back plays. Hayes ties it up. What were some of the things that you were trying to change at a halftime, and what did you notice coming out of that second half? Coming out of halftime,
I mean, you know, again, it was just, you know, going out there not settling for anything. And it wasn't that I don't think that, you know, this wasn't anything of the first 3 weeks. So, you know, it wasn't like we've went out there and kind of, I don't know, laid down or weren't focused or whatever. But, you know, went out there and, you know, thought that it was important. I mean, we needed 8 inches, you know, and we're a running football team. And I thought that if we can't get 8 inches, I'm not sure we deserve to win the football game. And you know, they stoned us and we didn't do a very good job of getting our pad level low. You know, and then there was, you know, a bad, you know, succession of plays. You know, I mean, Braden Dibble has an opportunity to make an interception. It bounces off his helmet and right into the hands of a Hayes guy for a touchdown. And we come out in the first play from scrimmage, throw an interception, and, you know, and then now we're, you know, right into it. And so, but again, that's the ups and downs of WAC play. And I think that moment is where what we learned so much about our kids, about how they handle it, that they just said, okay, fine, here we are. Now we got to go out. Now we got to put ourselves in a situation to try to win the game.
So let me talk to you about that then. 4 minutes and 30 seconds-ish to go. The team's down 7 after the block punt. You told me on the post-game show that you didn't see any worry in these kids. They were composed. They went out and tied the game up. How important is that for them to show that mental composure in a conference game where they're down 7 on the road?
Well, I mean, again, it just shows it will give them confidence if we have to be in that, you know, unfortunate situation down the road. That you know, all I heard, well, you know, when after the punt was done, you know, we gave it back and they kicked it to us, is that, hey, we got to go out and score. You know, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't, you know, being quiet. It wasn't like pointing fingers at anybody, anything. And so they said, hey, let's go out there and score. And you know, I mean, when you get the ball in playmakers' hands, we got the ball into Emilio's hands, and, you know, like I told you, it really was supposed to be a pass from him to Braden Sneath, but they, you know, they were looking for something like that late in the game, but Emilio has the opportunity to get and run, and, I mean, he took off and, again, just made a huge play, and I think that gave us a ton of confidence, and you know, on the very next play, then Mario takes it 30 more yards, you know, so in two plays, we, you know, we advanced it about 65, 70 yards, you know, into a position now that if we just execute, we got a chance to tie it up.
How big was getting Mario back? Not only the 2 touchdowns he had in the first half, but you mentioned that big run in the end.
Well, really important. I mean, you know, I mean, he caught the touchdown pass in the first half, and, you know, really he was a big factor on 2 big plays in pass protection. The third and, I think, 16 pass to Braden for a first down. He picked up a blitzer, and then on the last play that we threw the touchdown to Ethan Allen, he stepped right up in there and picked up his backer and gave Ethan an opportunity to complete that pass. And, you know, those are 2 things that not many people are going to see on film or paying attention to because they're watching the ball. But without his ability to do those 2 times, we don't have those 2 big plays.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that then. How much goes into teaching these backs in this kind of system pass protection?
Well, it's just more about where to fit, you know. I mean, where do they need to fit themselves into, because we're a gap protection team, and you know, we just got to get up into the line of scrimmage and be ready for it. And, you know, they've been blitzing us all night, and, you know, that's what a lot of people are doing now, is that they know that because of our size and type of scheme that we run, that they've got to get more and more people, and they're just slamming everybody into the, you know, the line of scrimmage and trying to sell out to stop the run. And that's where, you know, we had the opportunities to complete the passes for the touchdowns and get them, you know, wide open, was because they're just completely committing themselves to that. And I think that was a huge, you know, show for our offense, is that you can go ahead and commit and you might be able to keep us under 200 yards rushing by just slamming everybody in there, but are you gonna have enough people in the end to be able to cover everybody, because we have a quarterback and we've got athletes that we can throw it to as well.
How important is that, being so multiple, whereas last season's team didn't throw as many passes 4 games in the season as this one?
Right. I mean, I think it's huge, because now, you know, when you're watching this on film and you see how we got the ball to some guys, you know, last week, you're going to have to make sure that they have – you know, people accounted for those people. And if they've got people more accounted for the pass, that may end up meaning that they don't have as many people lined up, you know, to protect them from the run. So, you know, it's counterbalance either way, but it's really important, I think, that through 4 weeks that we've shown different ways to get the ball to guys that if you're going to fully commit to just slamming everybody into the line of scrimmage, we now have a way to get the ball to some other people.
Before I get into some of these skill positions, one thing that you told me last week is that Hayes is the one team in the WAC that always seems to match your team physically in terms of size, in terms of strength. Were you concerned about the way that they played in the second half, or do you think that was just a one-off because of how strong that Hayes is?
Oh, I just think that that's just what we expect. I mean, those games have, you know, been that way for probably the last 4 or 5 years, you know, against Hayes, that it's just a physical, you know, game that, you know, they run a lot of counter on offense, and they've got big guys. They have a big tight end and big tackles, and, you know, they're pulling those guys around, and we're having to slam our guys into it to try to counterbalance it. And I think that that's just the kind of game that we expected. Was it was going to be a slugfest, and fortunately we were able to hang on and pick up the victory.
Yeah, crazy game that gets into overtime. Let's talk through how overtime starts. Coin toss goes out, team doesn't get the ball first. Is that
we chose that?
Okay, I was gonna ask that. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you guys
yeah toss we, I mean that's how I've played overtime since I've been here, is that, and most people do, except Coach Prime. He takes the ball, but I'm not Coach Prime. But you know, we wanted to play defense. If we're going to win the toss, we want to play defense first, because then that allows us to see what we need. You know, it definitely makes a big impact on the type of plays that we're going to call, whether we need to score or, you know, in that case, you know, we did not need to necessarily score a touchdown. We just needed points. And so, you know, we weren't going to get too far into the hashes because the high school hashes are really wide. And what most people don't realize when we go up to Hayes is that we kick into college field goal posts. Those are not high school field goal posts. So they're more narrow than what ours are at Buffalo Stadium. And so, you know, when we get out there, you know, we don't want to get out there in those high school hashes and be real wide because, you know, that's a tough angle from, you know, under 20 yards to kick it through the upright. And so, you know, we were just going to kind of keep it through the middle, keep rushing it up there. If we scored, great. If not, you know, we were more than happy then put our field goal team out there because we had the confidence over the last, you know, 2-3 weeks that we've in that area of our special teams and they came through.
Take me through what you saw in the forced fumble on that defensive possession.
Well, I mean, I thought he was going to score, to be honest with you, on our sideline. And then out of the blue, you know, here comes the defense. And again, just put a hat on the helmet or a helmet on the ball. And you know, the ball all of a sudden goes flying. And now, you know, with that oblong football, you never know where it's going to bounce. And, you know, just again, like a bunch of rabid dogs, you know, our kids were on top of it. And, you know, shoot, then at that point now, you know, my deal after the fumble was, you know, I mean, it's great, everybody's excited, but we got to calm down offensively because we still got to execute. We can't have penalties. We can't have things that put us behind. I mean, we're at a huge advantage now. Let's not lose it, you know, doing something that we can control.
So halfway through the season now, feels so weird for me to say, but 3-1 on the year. Would you say this is about what you wanted? A little worse than you expected, better than you expected? What's your assessment of this team halfway through the year?
Yeah, I mean, we're really at the same exact point, you know, just got here a different way than we did last year. You know, it's just frustrating. You know, it's always going to be something, I think, that when we look back on this whole deal, that the black eye is going to be the game one, you know, giving up and giving up that game and giving it away the way that we did. Because, you know, like, you know, you hate to use comparisons and things like that, but, you know, like last week, Heights beat West 13-12. Okay. And we beat them 35-6. So I think that, you know, I think all it does is prove that we kind of gave that one away, and that's, you know, that's why they play the game. And, you know, but that one will sting, you know, a little bit, I think, as the time goes on. But I'm just really proud that we've shown some real growth over the last 4 weeks. And now here we are, you know, we're getting another whack opponent at home, you know, on homecoming. And so now we really got to straighten ourselves out because they're undefeated, probably the best Liberal team we'll have faced in my 14 years here. And, you know, we need to be ready to play and not, you know, patting ourselves on the back and those kind of things. We can do all that after the season's over.
I wanted to ask you about that, actually. So Liberal this weekend, this is the first season they've been truly competitive in the WAC in a long time. It's their best start since 2003 as of last week. I haven't found the last time they start 4-0. I'm really trying to work on that.
Yeah.
But for a team that has struggled for so long, you've been in this area for a long time. What does it mean to see this team competing again?
Oh, I mean, it's really good. I think it's good for the WAC, you know, when we've got five good teams that are, you know, capable of beating anyone anytime. I mean, I think it's important. I mean, they, you know, we play so many non-conference games, and to see how much success that our, you know, WAC schools have had playing, you know, outside our conference, you know, with Hayes having the success that they did against Junction City and everything. And, you know, Great Bend has had success against McPherson and Wichita Southeast, and, you know, Liberals beating Topeka and Emporia and, you know, just those kind of things. I think it's great. It just shows the strength of the WAC. And anytime that, you know, you can do that, I think it's better for our conference.
They're firing on all cylinders on offense. They've got the leading quarterback in the conference, leading wide receiver in the conference. What's something that you've seen while watching this team so far?
Yeah, you can say all that, but they're really good at running the football too. And I think that that's something that you can't lose sight of, is that they do throw the football very well. They can be very explosive because they do have a senior quarterback and a senior wide receiver that are you know really, really good. But I think that if you lose sight of the fact that they can run the football just as effectively, that I think that, you know, you start just paying attention to the pass and they can run it down your throat as well.
When you have a quarterback that has this much experience, but is so good through the air, so good on the ground, what's the key to neutralizing the way he plays?
We just got to keep him in the pocket. I think that's a big thing. He's really good about making plays off schedule. He does a good job of keeping his eyes downfield. You know, he's got that confidence. He's made a lot of starts as a quarterback down there at Liberal. And so we just got to make sure that we're trying to keep him in the pit, make him have to throw it, you know, to his receivers maybe a little bit sooner than he wanted to. And then we got to do a good job of being in coverage and staying in coverage if he does break pocket. I mean, they do a really good job of their receivers do a great job of finding an opening in the coverages when things break down for him and get into his line of sight, and they've been able to make some big plays that way.
We're about to have a couple of Bradens on the show whenever they get back.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing those guys on again. But with Sneath, you mentioned he's been stepping up. We talked about him last week, but Dibble's a guy who I haven't really talked about too much. He's seen the field varsity-wise for, I believe, the first time. What stands out about him?
Well, he just transferred to here from Cheney, and so this is his first time with us, and so he's just really kind of continued to grow within the system of understanding what's going on. You know, he went to team camp with us, and, you know, then has been through the first part of the season with us, and I think every week you just see him getting better and better and finding his groove into the defense and where he fits in. And, you know, he's a big hitter for not being a big guy, and you know, has just really been able to be a playmaker for us, and in a position that, you know, we really lost a lot. You know, last year we lost our entire secondary mostly except for Ethan Allen, and, you know, for him to come in and be able to fill one of those positions and to play as well as he's played has really been critical for us.
Got it. That is 14th year head coach Brian Hill, right after Garden City's big win last weekend against Hayes. Homecoming week as they take on the undefeated Liberal Redskins. All the action starts at 7 o'clock from Buffalo Stadium this week. Coach, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
All right, thank you.
Always appreciate having Coach Hill on the show. When we come back, we will talk with juniors Braden Sneath and Braden Dibble. It's all coming up here on Buff Talk, live from Old Chicago.